We've been talking about how walking can change and even save lives. So here's the story of another woman who deserves to have a film made about her, Emma Gatewood, the first woman to hike the entire Appalachian Trail. She was a grandmother. Actually, she was a great-grandmother when she set out to walk 2,000 miles alone. Ben Montgomery tells her story in a book called Grandma Gatewood's Walk.
She started in 1955 at the age of 67. She secretly left home, didn't tell her children or her grandchildren. She was about 800 miles into her walk before she let anybody know, and she dropped a postcard in the mail to her kids back home, and it said essentially, you know, when I told you I was going to take a walk, I actually meant I'm trying to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail.
She's the mother of 11 kids, grandmother of 23.
Right.
Leaves her small Ohio hometown with a change of clothes and less than $200. What possessed her to want to do that?
Well, that's a great question, and I spent no short amount of time trying to figure it out. She had been married for 30 years to an oppressive, hard-fisted man in a small town that knew how to keep secrets. And she had been beaten starting on her wedding night. It was the first time he struck her, and it didn't stop. She wrote in her diary that she was pregnant 11 times. I'm sorry, 13 times. She miscarried twice, but she said she never bore a child without him assaulting her during her pregnancy. She finally got, I think she was up against the wall. She had taken an especially bad beating that nearly killed her. Broke her rib, broke a tooth. He had sort of ripped part of her ear off. And she decided, this is it. I've got to get away. And she mustered up the nerve to file for divorce. And it's around this time that she started taking very long walks.
Well, she had no real wilderness or survival training. Not only that, she lit out with no map, no tent, no sleeping bag. I mean, frankly, it sounds like suicide.
She was tough as nails. About the only training she had was being a farmer's wife, and she worked alongside the men every day, sun up to sundown. So she was no stranger to that form of survival. But yes, you're right. She was completely unprepared for a 2,050-mile walk. What she did have, she stuffed inside a handmade denim drawstring sack, which she slung over her shoulder.
She didn't even take any food with her, really, did she?
She brought along some cheese and some peanuts and some raisins and some bouillon cubes to suck on for the sodium. She ate wild strawberries and something she liked to call sorrel salad. Sorrel is a grass that grows along the AT. But she called it a sorrel salad. Basically, she's just eating grass. Beyond what she could find beside the trail, she was not ever afraid of, if she was very hungry, of walking up to the nearest house and knocking on the door. In fact, one gentleman who met her when he was a boy, his parents lived in a house along the AT in New Hampshire. He recalls her showing up one day, knocking on the door, and his mother was cooking dinner. And his mother opens the door, and Emma says, "How you doing? I'm Grandma Gatewood. What's for dinner?" She just kind of came in and sat down and, you know, enjoyed herself. So that's how she made it, the kindness of strangers.
She started hiking in the summer, but, you know, it took her months to get up north, and the weather got gradually worse. How did she handle the cold?
She found some men's clothing along the trail, including a wool vest, which she bundled up in. She would often heat up flat rocks on a fire and lie on those for warmth. But for the most part, she just toughed it out.
Wow.
In fact, the day she climbed Mount Katahdin, she had sprained a knee and she had broken out one lens of her glasses. She was virtually blind without her glasses. And so she's having a hard time seeing, and it's sleeting, and she's climbing a mountain. This is a rugged woman.
Now, was she ever in real danger aside from exposure on the trail?
She had a run-in with a bear, which she scared off with her umbrella. In the summer of 1955, two hurricanes made landfall off the coast of North Carolina back to back within 7 days of each other. And they raked up the eastern seaboard and stalled out over New England, dumping unprecedented amounts of rain on the Appalachian chain in that area. And those floods killed 211 people. There's no evidence in any of her diaries, any of her writings, that she even knew she was walking through hurricanes. She'd write things like, "Slogged 9 miles through wind and rain today," you know, that kind of thing. But
meanwhile, governors were declaring states of emergency,
and helicopters were rescuing people from church camps. And yeah, I don't know that she ever knew that they were hurricanes.
Well, now at some point, word got out about her hike. Reporters began to follow her, and then she became a folk hero, right?
Reporters in Roanoke, Virginia, who had heard about her, tracked her down. It took them several days to find her, and she reluctantly told them her story. But once that hit the paper, boy, every town she walked through, there seemed to be another reporter waiting for her. She didn't mind talking to people, but what bothered her was they always wanted her to stop moving. She said, "You know, it's hard for me to get going again. These legs are 67 years old, so if I stop, it's hard for me to get going." But the story spread like wildfire, and probably the last 2 weeks or 10 days of her through hike, boy, there were daily dispatches from the Associated Press and the United Press International going out.
What was it about her and her trek that captured the public's imagination so much?
Well, this was an interesting year in American history. The 1950s were one of the biggest roads building decades in United States history. There were millions of dollars being pumped into the building of the interstate highway system. This dovetailed with the affordability of the American automobile. And what you saw was this slow decline in walking and getting out. In fact, the very year that Emma hiked the AT, 1955, there was a big gathering of family doctors in Los Angeles. And two emissaries from the sports world delivered the keynote speech. And they said, "We, for the first time ever, are having to build muscle in young men, not loosen muscle." Kids were, their physiques had changed in their lifetimes. And so I think what she gave people was a reminder that there's something special about walking. And she romanticized it in this really interesting way. People ask her, "Why are you doing this?" And she said, "I just wanted to see what was over the next hill, then what was over the hill beyond that."
One of the things I love most about her is she was a very plain-spoken, blunt woman. Like, you tell a story about, I think it was 1963, and she met a hiker on the trail, and he said, "Oh, wow, Grandma Gatewood," and asked her what part of the trail she liked best, and she said, "Going downhill, sonny."
She had a way with words. She was visiting, late in life, she was visiting a nephew in Pensacola, Florida, and they went to an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet and loaded their plates with peel-and-eat shrimp, and the gentleman told me that he got back to the table and kind of put his head down and started eating his shrimp, and he was discarding the shells in a little bowl beside him. And he had looked up and looked across the table at Aunt Emma, and she had finished her plate. There wasn't a tail or a shell anywhere in sight. And he said, "Well, Aunt Emma, you're not supposed to eat the tails and the shells." And she said, "Why, we paid for them, didn't we?" She was a hoot.
Yeah.
I really did sort of fall in love with her at the end. It was a weird experience for me because I'm writing like the end of the book, and I would go out to my shed and just start crying, and I couldn't figure out why. And I was talking to my wife with it one night, and she was like, "Well, I think you're mourning. You don't want her to die." And it was totally true. Like, I knew her, you know, I knew it was all outlined. I knew how the story was going to end. And I couldn't get my mind around that. I wanted to keep her alive, you know, so.
How old was she when she died?
She was 84 years old, and she had just finished a 48-state trip by bus and caught a cold, you know, near the tail end of that bus trip. And she got back home and tried to go back to work planting a garden and that sort of thing. And she called her son and said, "Something's not right. I don't feel right." She had never been sick before, and so he called an ambulance. And the story has it that she died just after she hummed a few bars of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Oh, an amazing woman. Wonder what she'd make of us today.
I think she would think I am a big panty waist. I mean, if you're going to thru-hike the AT today, you spend $1,000 on gear. You get the best hiking boots, and you get the lightest backpack, and the best hammock, and the best and lightest sleeping bag. And I think she would just laugh at all of that. This was a woman who didn't need anything. She needed a pile of leaves and a little bit of good fortune. And, you know, her father told her, pick up your feet. And I think that's kind of what she did. She just picked up her feet for 2,000 miles.
Emma Gatewood was the first woman to hike the entire Appalachian Trail alone in sneakers. Her fame and outspoken criticism of the sorry state of the trail is probably what saved it from extinction. Ben Montgomery tells her story in his book, Grandma Gatewood's Walk, won the 2014 National Outdoor Book Award.